This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. It is episode number 36, being recorded on Wednesday, the 22nd of November, the day before Thanksgiving, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A lady was picking through the frozen turkeys at her grocery store looking for one for her Thanksgiving dinner, but she couldn't find one big enough for her family. So she went over to a stock boy and said, "Excuse me, son, do these turkeys get any bigger?" "No, ma'am," the stock boy replied. "Those turkeys are dead."
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easta, my friends. Son of Easta, and welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, episode number 36, being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 22nd of November, 2006. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to have you here with us on this day before the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States of America. We got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about, this week has been just a gift when it comes to weird-ass shit in the news. That's how people in the business refer to it. So we got plenty of stuff to talk about this week. We're going to be visiting with our good friend Jason Nathanson. We're going to be talking with Eliza Alfredsig, and I think the rest of her family. Eliza is back home in Croton-on-Hudson, New York, or something like that. And maybe Eliza and or the Alfredsig family. It feels like I should be going to some concentration camp when I just say the name. Just, you know, Alfredsig. I'm looking for the dogs. But they may be playing a round of Win John DeCoven's Money with our good friend John DeCoven, who's sitting here in the studio with us. Son of Easta, John DeCoven.
Son of Easta, Robin. Woo! Son of Easta, Sherry.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
A couple of months,
yeah.
All right. So you're going to be sitting in today for the vacationing?
I wasn't prepared for a round of John DeCoven's Money, but we'll see what happens.
And what kind of preparation do you do before a... Wait a second here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pull this on you.
I meditate a little bit.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
I focus.
I see. Okay. You go to the local slaughterhouse and pound on a side of beef for a while?
I read a couple books.
Oh, do you?
Sure.
Anything I would have heard of?
No.
Okay.
No.
And you're sitting in for the vacationing Parviz Vitali?
Parviz, Parviz.
You mentioned to me that everybody, you have to do it twice now.
I think so, right?
It doesn't sound. We all do. You can't just say his name once.
No, it's Parviz, Parviz.
And how do you say it, Cherry?
Parviz, Parviz.
Okay. Because I thought you were kind of saying Parviz.
I was.
Okay, and he gets mad at that type
I think
of stuff.
He gets
I'm glad
mad.
He's not here.
Yeah, well, for many reasons. No, I mean...
He might make me smell him again.
He did, didn't he?
He did.
That was something I'd hoped we wouldn't
it
have to...
It was a pleasant experience, but I just, you know, watching you cringe while he put his neck in front
it
of
was.
My nose.
And then it almost made me smell him.
Yeah, he was trying very hard.
In the least homoerotic manner possible. And of course, Sherry Stevens, son of Easta to Sherry.
Hello, everyone.
Shouldn't you be home cooking a bird or something like that? Isn't that the chick thing to do?
It normally is, and believe me, I've had a lot of Thanksgiving dinners under my belt.
Okay.
No pun intended, but I'm not cooking this year, and it's kind of nice.
Ah, you're going out.
Going out.
We're
going to
talk a little bit about that as well. So Parviz is, I think, off with family stuff for Thanksgiving. Sean is missing in action.
M.I.A.
He is M.I.A.
I hope he's okay.
So if you see Sean Meehan, tell him to send us a telegram. Something fast. Carrier, pigeon, whatever. Doesn't really matter. And so we got that going on, plus lots more stuff. So I think we're going to have a terrific show for you today. Let's see. Before we get going, let's have a very special Thanksgiving kippadada. We got a special Thanksgiving... I should have put these on the same thing here. This is not going to get old. Michael's whirling.
Stroke or unload.
Harry Chaney. Harry winning. Oh, he stopped it. Wait. And we've got a special Thanksgiving from Allie Waller. And our new friend, Jerry Seinfeld.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
No problem. So
no, where's Whitney today?
Oh, you're right.
And,
we forgot.
Samuel.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's why the next one's my favorite. I just love it.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
I want that as a ringtone.
All right, I screwed up big time. I'm so happy to have you here because you. Last time you were here, or two times ago when you were here, you were. I keep track of these things.
Okay.
You're looking at me like, am I going to have to diagram this sentence?
Right.
You mentioned that you were going to be expanding your comedy empire. So you're wearing a Laugh A Lot Productions shirt even as we speak. That's actually a nice one. That's an embroidered. That's not a. Where's mine?
You know I. I ran out of these about 6 months ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And they're not, you can't even buy them on the website?
No, on eBay, but I just haven't ordered more.
I see. But you were expanding the comedy empire. We weren't allowed to talk about it because you were making some kind of deal with Tommy Two Tones.
Oh, no, Tommy T's. No, we talked about it.
So where are you now with it? Because that's all blown up, right?
No, it hasn't blown up.
I mean, in a good way.
Oh, in a good way.
Yeah.
I mean, I
it
do.
It has blown up.
I have a showcase I do there every Tuesday.
Yeah.
And 6 to 10 comics, you know, local Bay Area comics and anywhere from up and comers to guys like Larry Bubbles Brown and, you know, guys that have been around forever. So it's a fun time.
Not Larry Bubbles Brown.
Yeah. Do you know Larry Bubbles Brown?
Is that to distinguish him from the other Larry Brown?
Well, you know.
The Bubbles?
You got to say
that
it
is the question, isn't it?
It's just it goes together. I don't know. Larry Bubbles Brown.
So you've been booking comedy shows now for, is it a year?
More
than
years.
That. A couple of years now. And this is really kind of your full-time gig at this point. Because there are maybe listeners in the audience who are joining us for the first time, and the audience keeps growing. They don't really know about John DeCoven, the mastermind of comedy.
You are too kind.
Thank you.
But I mean, I wouldn't say it's my full-time, but it's my full-time besides anything else.
Okay.
I made no sense there, I know.
I know, but we're just going to keep moving forward. It's all about forward momentum.
All right.
So so when you do a show, you actually perform. You do some kind of comic monologue.
I do 90% of the time.
Okay.
There'll be sometimes I won't because I'll just feel like, you know, it depends where it is. Like, okay, this audience has seen me too much, or I don't have new material because I get bored with my material really quick.
Right.
So 90% of the time I'll host. You know, so it's 5 to 10 minutes, in and out.
It sounds like a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You get bored, 90 minutes, in and out. And do you enjoy hosting? Is it different?
I enjoy it. I think because you can try out new material, you know, you're kind of warming up the crowd. You build a relationship with them, which is important.
Does it need to be topical? You know, last week I did a monologue,
right.
and you actually were very nice, and you sent me a little note and you said that it was funny. By the way, this week people may have been expecting a big monologue. It's like they got a groaner joke. That's right. They got almost less than nothing.
Right,
they got a frozen turkey joke, which was okay. But you don't want to set the expectations too high because then if people expect that you're going to hit. It's like Barry Bonds. Every time he goes out, you expect that he's going to hit a home run. And when he doesn't, you're disappointed, even though he was, what, he was batting 3-something, right? So I just want to keep those expectations as low as possible. That's all. But, I mean, that was a one-shot thing where I kind of decided I was going to write some material. Mm-hmm. How do you do it sort of week after week when you MC these shows? What's the trick?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of times I will rehash old material, because if it's an I can kind of tell. I'll look at the audience, and I got a good memory if there's a lot of repeat people there or not. I may do my old tried and true divorce stuff. I may do internet dating. I may do eating tofu. I mean, I have all these little things, and then I'll sprinkle in current events. So, like, the last one, I did some jokes on, you know, the PlayStation 3 and OJ.
Well, give us a little PlayStation
Line. The PlayStation. And you know what's funny? It's because all these jokes are the da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. I mean, that's the pattern of a monologue. That is the pattern of a monologue. So, I mean, I said, did you hear in Japan there were like 3,000 people waiting in line to buy this PlayStation 3? And I was like, there haven't been that many Japanese people in line since World War II.
It got a better response from the audience.
Yeah, it got a groan. I mean, they
all
like...
Right, well, that's okay.
I like groans.
Yeah.
A groan is as good as a laugh.
It is. It's kind of like a walk in baseball. You get on base.
I'm going to
push this analogy as hard as I can.
I had one. Did you hear Fox News canceled the OJ show I did it? And in its place, they put a TV show. Well, if we were to show this show, here's how it would have gone. And again, that got a much better reaction last night.
We're all tired.
You got to be in the moment.
We're all tired here.
That's okay.
All right.
I can take it.
But the audience, you never scream nigger at an audience member.
No, not to an audience member.
Okay.
No.
What?
Not to an audience member. That was pretty...
That was raw.
That was pretty amazing.
That was raw. So we have to talk about that.
The funny thing is a lot of people have not seen the actual video. Like I was talking to this reporter guy I was telling you earlier, and the only thing he saw was like on TV, like where they have it all edited and they're bleeping out the words. I'm like, no, just go to YouTube. You got to see the entire... thing.
YouTube is perfect for ending someone's career.
Yes. that's what they are. Endyourcareer.com.
That's really what YouTube is. Because there's nothing you want to see on YouTube that everyone else, there's nothing on YouTube that people want to see that there's somebody who never wants to see again.
Exactly.
All right, fine. okay, once again, not all winners. So here's what we're going to do. So this is Thanksgiving Day, so... I was trying to find, like, Thanksgiving music, but the only thing I have is that Charlie Brown Thanksgiving song with, you know, the Vince Ghirardelli, you know, the piano thing.
Da, 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 da. That one?
Yeah, but
that
not
Christmas?
That one. That's,
okay.
I think that's Christmas.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm trying to
You're all
quiet.
Nervous.
No,
You're
it's all, slippery.
Okay. So instead, what I found was there's a bunch of new albums that were released this week from some new groups. That I'd not heard of before. There's a new group called... Well, I didn't bother to pull any of their stuff. Yes, Boys Like Girls.
Mm.
This is some kind of new...
Controversial.
Have you heard of them?
No.
Boys Like Girls. Bowling for Soup, real favorite band of mine. Yusuf Islam. Cat Stevens?
Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens has released a new album. Released a new album. We got some Cat Stevens music
nice.
Here. And so we're going to mix a little bit up today. So what do you want to hear first? You want to hear a little Cat Stevens?
Yeah.
Oh, plus, Blink 182 is gone. You know, they've broken up.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Is that they just turn into Matchbox 20 or... No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Aren't they kind of like the
same?
You
got a show tonight?
Are they the same?
You working on material?
No,
you working it out on my show?
But aren't they kind of the same?
No,
or no?
Not really.
Okay.
No, Matchbox 20 was kind of more ballad stuff, and Blink 182 was certainly more skater rock, I think. Skate punk kind of, you know, really quick stuff.
So why did they break up?
I think one of them decided they could probably do better with a solo career.
Okay.
So they've kind of gone off in two different directions. So one of the folks, Mark DeLong, I think, started Angels and Airwaves. And then the drummer, Travis Baker, was on The Bakers on MTV. He had his own little reality show with his wife. He's a guy who's like completely tattooed, you know, with
Okay.
I don't know whether you're telling the truth.
No, I've seen it. Yeah.
Okay. Not Flavor Flav.
No, not Flavor Flav. No, Flavor Flav is a... Oh, excuse me. Okay.
He's a talented rapper, is what you were going to say.
Exactly.
And so they've started a band called Plus 44. Okay. I don't know.
They like numbers. I guess that's
clearly the case.
Right.
So we got some tones from Plus 44. So we got a little Yusuf. We'll play a little bit of Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam. We'll kind of get into the holiday spirit with that.
Okay.
When we come back, I think we'll be talking with Jason Nathanson.
Right on.
We'll get into all of the controversy going on with OJ and Michael Richards and all kinds of stuff going
on. It's
going
to be awesome.
It's going to be outstanding. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, today's very special in-studio guest, John DeCoven. During the break, you can study up for a round to win John DeCoven's money.
Okay.
I got Shakespeare
behind you.
And also the Howard Stern biography. There may be a question from one of them.
Okay.
All right. You don't look too nervous. And you haven't been checking your BlackBerry.
No, for you. And it's a trio. We've gone through this before.
Okay. Okay, I'm bored. We're going to take a break. We're back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
The moment you walked inside my door, I knew that I need not look no more. I've seen many other souls before, but heaven must have programmed you. The moment you fell inside my dreams, I realized all I had not seen. I've seen many other souls before, but heaven must have programmed you. Oh, will you I go where true love goes. 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 If you walk alone and if you lose your way, don't forget the one who gave you this today. Follow true love, follow true love. Follow true love, follow true love. I go where true love goes, I go where true love goes. I go where true love goes, I go where true love goes. And if a storm should come, and if you face a wave, that may be the chance for you to be saved. And if you make it through the trouble and the pain, that may be the time to know his name. The moment you walked inside my door, I knew that I need not look no more. I've seen many other souls before, but heaven must have programmed you. The moment you fell inside my dreams, I realized all I had not seen. I've seen many other souls before, but heaven must have programmed you. The moment you said I will, I knew that this love was real, and that my fate was sealed. Oh, heaven must have programmed you. The moment I looked into your eyes, I knew that they told no lies. There would be no goodbyes, oh, 'cause heaven must have programmed you. Oh, I go where
where Judah goes. I go where Judah goes. I go where Judah goes. I go where Judah goes.
Welcome back. We're about 24 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com. That is the website. Robin@schnauzerlogic.com. That is the email address. We're also over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. And we got a phone number. It's area code 206-666-6540. Recording here on Wednesday, the 22nd, day before Thanksgiving here in the United States. Sitting in the studio with my good friend Sherry Stevens, Sonavista. And John DeCoven has decided to join us. Cool, man. Sonavista. Sounded like Cat Stevens.
Sonavista.
Sounded like Cat Stevens, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
I mentioned his voice still sounds pretty good. So I don't know whether it's going to get a lot of airplay. You know, I don't know whether people
feel
like... Well,
on Al Jazeera it will.
I guess. I don't...
But something like that song
they're broadcasting
will.
In English now, so...
That's right, with Dave Marish.
Yeah.
Formerly of a CBS News. What?
Oh, it was a CBS?
Well, I think
ABC.
He started at CBS in New York, and then he moved to ABC.
Right.
I've been following his career for years. I have a secret Dave Marish crush. Now, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's see. Before we get into the next segment, this is something that was actually fairly interesting. You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but Parviz, you know this because you and I started. Parviz did stand-up comedy before.
Right.
It was sort of one of the loves that he had. I don't know. Do you ever see Parviz do stand-up comedy?
No.
That's how we all met.
We all met doing stand-up comedy at the San Francisco Comedy College. Well, and we've asked him a number of times if he thought he'd go back into it again. And he said no, that he really wasn't interested in doing that. But apparently he snuck on stage for an open mic.
Oh, really?
This past weekend, yeah.
Where at?
And someplace up in the city, he snuck on stage for an open mic. And I guess it didn't go all that well. But somebody managed to record it, and we got it here, yeah.
Shut up! 50 years ago, you had your own tied down with a fucking fork up your ass! You can talk your brain now, motherfucker! Roll his ass out, he's a nigger! He's a nigger! He's a nigger!
Oh my God.
A nigger, look, he's a nigger!
It shocks you to see what lay beneath your stupid motherfuckers. What was it called for? It's not called for you to hear on my ass, you cheap motherfucker! You guys have been talking and talking and talking! I don't know!
Well, it didn't go well.
Oh, you're threatening
me? Sound like?
That may be why he's not here today.
Oh, it's a big threat. That's how you get back in the man.
Did you get this off of...
Wait a minute, he's not going, is he?
I, I saw Parviz perform.
Never had no show, never had no movie. Seinfeld, that's it. Oh, I guess
it's okay, but it's been done.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's get into a full discussion here.
You know, people hate when people steal each other's material.
Too. Yeah, I know. Let's get into a full discussion here. What's going on? Hold on a second. All right. Hold on.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of 100,000.
I wonder if the people think it really was Parviz.
Man came by to you'll cable explain TV, it, we set right?
I don't think so.
Night,
no.
Baby, I mean, especially...
We switched around
and this is the best part.
Half-past dawn, there was 57 channels in...
The bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels in...
The bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
I would be curious...
The bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
How worldwide the thing... of Richards was like, it was a really big news in the UK.
Let's ask the man with a plan on the phone. This is Jason Nathanson, son of Easton, my friend.
Hey, Robin, I don't know what's worse, the fact that Parviz was so racist or that he wasn't funny. In stand-up comedy, you gotta be funny. If you're
you know it was Parviz because he said, nigger. That's how I knew it was him.
How's your grandma? Nigger, how's your grandma?
Oh, man. So this is like, this thing, I mean, I think the only thing that could have been better for is that if the Republicans would have hoped that this had happened like the day before the election to drive the Democrats off the front page.
They get OJ and Michael Richards. I mean,
unbelievable.
They're definitely going in their favor.
Now, I know that you write the news for a radio station down in Los Angeles. I mean, has this been, do you just keep writing this story over and over again?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people have been camped out at the Laugh Factory where this happened all week. The other morning, we had on people from the Laugh Factory, Jamie Masada, the owner, and Paul Mooney, who's been everywhere, and Paul
Rodriguez
also.
Rodriguez.
They were there at the Laugh Factory at 6:30 in the morning. Waiting for all the calls. So this has just been a huge story. TV media has been surrounding the place.
This is the most attention that the Laugh Factory's gotten since ever.
Pretty much.
I mean, really?
Actually, since the Michael Jackson trial, because Jamie Masada was a part of that as the the owner of that.
So John DeCoven's in the studio, and John asked a very interesting question, which is this getting picked up as being a big story outside of the United States?
It's pretty much everywhere. Yeah, I mean, I've seen it. It's definitely big. On the BBC website, it was all over there. Since I don't get Al Jazeera English, I don't know if it's been big on there or not. But in the English-speaking countries for sure, and I'm sure it's made it other places. And it doesn't do a lot of good to our American perception in the world right now.
No, the reason I think it probably is being picked up everywhere is. Richards is best known for his role on Seinfeld.
Sure.
And Seinfeld is obviously everywhere. And here's the thing that's interesting. Seinfeld just released his new box set, right?
Yeah.
Right, number 7 just came out.
That's why he was going to be on Letterman.
That may be the one with Jan Karam. I don't know if that was the... Jan has been keeping a very low profile, so...
Right.
She might have been going on after him. I don't know. But this could tank sales for that, right?
Sure.
I mean,
and you brought up a good point there. Seinfeld is definitely very symbolic of America, just as Friends and a lot of our semi-cultural exports are. So when one of the stars of that show is shown being a horrible racist, it really kind of hurts us in the worldwide view of things.
Now, did you see Seinfeld and Richards on Letterman the other night?
I saw the replays of it.
All right. Have you guys seen it?
Oh, yeah.
And
I
you have
it.
You seen it?
I saw a replay as
it
well.
Was,
but I, didn't see it.
I have a little bit of the audio.
Bizarre.
Let me just play a little bit of the audio. It's about 7 minutes. I won't play the whole thing, but let me just play like a couple of minutes of it here for you. So because it's very bizarre.
Is this Parviz or actually Michael Richards?
Now I don't know him well. I've known him a long time, but I don't.
That's
know
Letterman.
Him. And I can remember years and years ago at the Comedy Store, he would get on stage, and he was always a very dynamic performer.
Mm-hmm.
Dynamic to the point that often audiences were frightened.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we all got a kick out of it because it was in good fun, and he was and is a very funny guy. And then we see this thing today where he goes nuts in some kind of club and is screaming at people. Have you talked to him? Do you know anything about this?
I did talk to him. I talked to him today. And, I was extremely upset about it, and he is extremely upset about it. And I asked him if he would come on the show tonight
mm-hmm.
so that he could explain what happened because...
What I think is interesting, I'm just going to pause it for a second. What I think is interesting is he didn't say to him, I know Michael and Michael's not a racist.
Right.
Did you notice that, Jason?
And the fact Dave Letterman seemed shocked that Michael Richards was going to be on the show. Like, he had no idea.
Just line up your guests for you.
Exactly. But I expected, like in my mind, I assumed that he'd say, listen, I know Michael, and Michael is no racist, and, you know, he was trying to make a joke, and this got out of hand. He was trying to... I expected that that would be the line that they would take, because when you hear that opening, you think to yourself, oh, he's kind of going into a Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, you know, he's riffing, and the right. riffing is not working. And I know Michael, he's not a racist, but that's not the tack that these guys are taking. Let me just play a little more audio here.
It was just one of those awful right. things, right. and I think he's a little mystified about what happened, but I think most importantly he wanted to
we have him live via satellite from Los Angeles. All right, this should be Michael Richards. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hi, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hello, hi.
How you doing?
I'm not doing too good.
Yeah. Why don't you explain exactly what happened for the folks who may not know?
I lost my temper on stage. I was at a comedy club trying to do my act, and I got heckled, and I took it badly and went into a rage. And said some pretty... nasty things to some Afro-Americans, a lot of trash talk, and
stop laughing, it's not funny.
And what would
it's hilarious.
Hold on. I'll ask Jerry to repeat that.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Do you think, honestly, though, that Letterman did not know that was
no.
He had to know that was coming? I mean,
I don't think Letterman wanted to do it, honestly.
Right.
I think he must have been of mixed mind. They got their biggest ratings in a long time. Isn't that true, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they just killed... They killed Leno last night. So I heard Leno was calling people niggers just to... I was laughing a little too hard there, dude.
Well, no, because I was going to say, you know what? All the comedy clubs are picking up on this next week at the Improv. They're going to do the Beaners, but, you know.
Anyways. Okay, fine. I'll just play a little bit. Oh, I shut it off. I can't play it a little bit more. Anyhow, but he starts rambling. But Afro-Americans, I mean, I'm wondering whether maybe everybody knows that he kind of is a racist.
Well, I mean, you would think that there'd be a whole bunch of stories coming out about this now that, you know, he treated the Paige on Seinfeld this way or, you know. But there haven't been a whole lot of Michael Richards' racist stories. So, you know, if that's the case, then you would think there would be. But you don't fly into a rage like that and say the things he said without that being in your mind somewhere. I mean, it's a lot like Mel Gibson. I mean, things don't just come out. I've had many rages before, and I've never used words like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to think that the guy is a racist. He's got to be.
I guess so. He made that. We didn't play it far enough, and I'm not going to keep playing it, but he makes a kind of very weak protest about I'm not a racist, and he says it in a way that just is...
That was bizarre.
Very bizarre, and very, very uncomfortable about the whole thing. But one of the things that keeps coming up, and John may be able to talk to this as well as Jason, is you read articles. There was an article in the Los Angeles Times. There's an article in the New York Times about how comedy clubs today really are cesspools of racism and homophobia and xenophobia and all of these, you know, that these are not pleasant places to be, and the comics on stage feel like they have free rein to say whatever they want. I listened to talk radio, and obviously, you know, some of the more racist elements of the listening audience are complaining that, well, how come blacks can talk about whites poorly, but whites can't talk about blacks poorly? And I'm wondering, John, whether, you know, someone who books a lot of comedy, do you see that there is veiled racism, veiled, you know, especially in this area, Asian, you know, more against Asians or Mexican Americans, things of that nature? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't.
And you don't
see
have to give us any names. I mean,
no,
we're
I
not, you know,
like that,
Bubbles
but,
Brown or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's racist, but, you know. But no, but I make jokes all the time about all kinds of races, including me, the Jews. That, you know, that's my favorite topic.
I do.
So, you know, it's like Borat. Have you seen Borat? You guys haven't talked about Borat yet.
We may have. I don't know.
Anyways, but you know what's interesting? Like, Eddie Griffin was just at Tommy T's.
Okay.
Now, I know it's different. He says the N-word on average 6 times a minute.
Right.
You know? Lisa Lampanelli is a white woman. She says that word all the time.
Right, right.
But I think...
But she's a fat white woman, so yeah. She can get away with it. That's different. That's almost the same as being black, apparently.
I don't see it. I mean, I see mostly, at least the Comics Eye book, when they're doing racist jokes, they are the person.
Okay.
So, you know, the Mexicans doing Mexican jokes, the Jews doing Jewish jokes. You can't do gay jokes. You got to be gay. You're doing a gay joke. You know, that's basically how I see it.
Wow. Well,
but, I mean, it is, if you watch a lot of Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock stuff, they do go off on white people a lot. But it's funny.
Right.
And I have no problem with it. And it doesn't scare me. And they always slip into, you know, I'm doing the white voice now. and I don't have a problem with it. This wasn't funny. There was no joke anywhere.
Exactly.
And if you're going to be funny, it's kind of okay because you're in a comedy club. And I think that's kind of what you want to see at the comedy club. Taboos are kind of set aside for the night a little bit, and you want to see something edgy. I mean, you're not going to the comedy club because, you know, you get stupid stuff on TV all the time, like 2 and a Half Men. You want to see something edgy and funny. And racism, the things that we're uncomfortable with as a society are the things that we poke fun at and things that, you know, turn out to be the funniest material. So race is a big thing in our society, and that's where you get the funnier stuff. And, you know, as long as you're good and you make a point, a lot of them make a point when they're doing this kind of humor. And as long as you make a good point and you're funny, I think you're okay. You know, this obviously, there's a big difference. I've seen a lot of that, like you said, on talk radio as well. Well, you know, white people can't do that and get away with it. There's a big difference between what Michael Richards did and actual comedy.
You need to get that?
No.
Okay. Can I interest you in aluminum siding?
I don't know if you... Have you ever seen Bobby Slayton?
Sure.
He does a lot of black stuff, and he gets away with it. But, I mean, again, like...
But it's Jason, comedy and
like
its
Jason
attitude.
Said, it's...
Yeah.
You know, on a side note, it's very interesting. I cannot hear Jason's name now without thinking it's going to be said twice.
Jason.
Yeah. I mean,
you want to ask him about his grandma? Go ahead. So the other thing that this raised, in addition to the fact that clearly Richards is not very talented as a stand-up comedian, I mean,
right.
I think there's a certain quality of Oh How the Mighty Have Fallen that someone who was on Seinfeld, right, which was seen by millions and millions of people, is now doing stand-up comedy at kind of an L.A. hack comedy store. I mean, if you're anybody who's anybody, you're not working the comedy store, you're not working the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, what I've heard from a comic friend of mine, who is not Ali Waller, he's not my only comic friend, is that he, this is kind of a new thing for him. There you go. He's not a professional stand-up comic.
Clearly.
I don't know if he's fallen on hard times or whatever, but he's trying to move into some other things that are going to make him some money. And he's been at the Comedy Store, I think, most Friday nights now for, you know, just a couple months. Either getting back into comedy, which he used to do a little more, or, you know, trying to start a new career.
Right.
Not make a lot of money, because you're not making a lot of money doing shows like that.
Well, you know who else is trying to now start doing stand-up is John Lovitz.
Really?
Yeah, like, he's never done stand-up. Now, all of a sudden, he wants to start. He's been at the Punchline. I heard he sucks, but...
Yeah. Well, it's very different to do stand-up comedy than it is to do sketch comedy. I mean, stand-up comedy is all about this. Sketch comedy is pretty much like this.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Exactly. But here's the other thing that fell out of this that was interesting to me is people are afraid to say nigger when he said nigger. And instead they refer to it's the Mark Furman version, right? I mean, it's the N-word.
I noticed that specifically when you played the cut you played with where, you know, the words like fuck were beeped out, but the N-word wasn't. And I'm not comfortable saying it.
That's from TMZ.com. You're not comfortable in saying it?
No, I'm not.
Well, doesn't that give the word more power? I mean, I'm uncomfortable with lots of different words, right? I don't say nigger. I don't say cunt. I mean, there's lots of words that have that kind of, whoa, it just pulls you up immediately when you hear those kind of words. But that's sort of propriety, you know, in terms of my own life. It has nothing to do with the fact that I think that those words are especially powerful, and I don't want to make them especially powerful. And aren't we doing that with this particular word? Because we really can't have a discussion about where it comes from and what it means and the meaning that it has to other people. And not to say that blacks can use it and whites can't use it, but it's clear that there has been an attempt by the Afro-American community. And by the way, is that, that's not right, is it? Is it?
No, that's a group of basketball players from the 70s.
Thank you. It's the black community, right? Or the African-American community?
As far as I know, Afro is kind of a hybrid of those two.
Yeah, yeah. It was very kind of 70s, you know? I mean, I saw Gabe Cotta, you know, and yeah. And Boom Boom Washington. Yeah, Boom Boom Washington, right? They all had froze. But, I mean, there's an attempt to defang particular words by using them in those contexts. And yet, when it, you know, we sort of, you, can you really play both sides of that coin?
Well, I mean, I was thinking about that right before I came on, whether or not I was going to say it or not.
And show prep.
I did right in the beginning, and I haven't said it since because there's a part of me that's scared that someday that tape is going to come out that I said that somewhere, and that's going to hurt me. You know, so, and just saying the word, I feel uncomfortable.
All right, repeat after me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Voldemort.
See, Voldemort's not going to kick my ass.
Wait a
though.
Second. My appendectomy scar is starting to throb. Okay, maybe that was a bad idea.
Voldemort's not going to kick my ass, whereas a bunch of black people who heard this podcast might. You never know. So, it is a word. We shouldn't be scared of words, but there are words that maybe it's not our right to demystify as white people. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm kind of torn on that.
Well, I'm not trying to. So here's the thing. I'm not trying to demystify the word, right? And that's why I don't use it in my normal conversation, because I don't think it's appropriate language, and so I don't. But in describing a story where someone has used that word,
sure,
to not use that word seems insane to me.
That's been an epidemic in the news media and something they've definitely been wrangling
there
with.
There is a kind of political correctness there, which then makes it seem like he said the N-word.
Right.
He didn't say the N-word. That's a program on Showtime. No, wait, that's the L-word. Right. That's like three episodes after the N-word. All right. We want to talk OJ too, right?
Yeah.
All right. Can you stick around for a break?
Absolutely.
All right. So what we're going to do is we'll take a break here. Now, you would understand some of this stuff because you're a kid. We got there's some new groups out there. We've got a new album for Bowling for Soup.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new album from Boys Like Girls. A new album from Plus 44, the guys who were from Blink 182 who'd not become Angels and Airwaves. What's your preference, my friend?
Is Plus 44 have anything to do with Sum 41? Is that like a math class?
No, but if you carry the six, I'm going to play Plus 44. Fuck
bowling,
you guys.
Bowling for Columbine. I like them.
No, Bowling for Soup.
Oh, for Soup. I don't know any of those bands.
All right. How come I'm the hippest person in the room? How is that possible?
That's scary.
It is scary. All right, here's what we're going to do. Take a little bit of break. I think we'll play a little bit of Plus 44, and we'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk a little bit of OJ.
Sure.
I see OJ, and he looks all dictatus. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, John DeCoven. On the phone with us is Jason Nathanson. And we're going to play a little tune and come back on the other side and invite you to stick around.
For more Schnauzer Logic.
I hear
feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Presto!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're about 51 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, pat attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Are you enjoying the lava lamp?
I love that lava lamp.
So
it keeps me amused.
When I'm talking?
When things get a little, you know.
A little slow? I see.
I just look at the lava lamp.
So what you're saying is that this show should have sort of a video podcast quality to it, and right. the imagery will be a lava lamp. So if you're not really digging what's happening audio-wise, just stare at the screen and... Okay. Well, you know, they always talk about lava lamps and how you're not supposed to shake them, right? Do not shake... You know what a lava... I mean, you've seen... But
John's
you've seen them before.
John's looking at it, too.
I mean, this is kind of a 70s thing, right? This is kind of black light posters and, you know, patchouli oil and incense and beaded curtains and lava lights. And then they went away for a while, and then they came back again. They were kind of retro, and now they're kind of back again. And they always tell you that you're not supposed to shake a lava lamp, right? Because once the lava breaks up...
It's boobs.
What? What'd you say? The lava has boobs? Okay.
I'm sorry, now I'm just
usually we drink after the show.
Right, now it's turning into a penis.
Look at that. Okay.
Jason, what do you see?
Huh?
What are you?
Didn't introduce me yet, so I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, well, we're on the line with Jason Nathanson. Son of Easton. Oh, and that one looks like a penis. Come on, anything
there's
that's
an appendix. No. All right.
And so anyhow, what happened was I got a new monitor for the studio here. And so I was very careful to move the lava lamp, which had been running all day, off to the side, and then move the old monitor off. The cord grabbed the cord of the lava lamp. The lava lamp tumbled onto the floor. And so the worst thing that could possibly happen, not only did I knock it over, but I knocked it over when it was hot. So all the lava was, and immediately it went foof, and it was just a cloud, just totally cloudy. And I figured that would be all that you could do about it. But thank God for the internet. Because atomic bombs and lava lamps. It's the same website.
Right.
It's at a makeandfixshit.com. And so I found out how you fix a lava lamp. You basically have to let everything kind of cool down. You pour off all the liquid that's in there. You fill it up with just cool water, cool, clear water. Spring water is going to be okay. I use distilled water. And then you let the thing kind of percolate for 4 or 5 hours. And what will happen is the lava that's in there will congeal by itself, but it won't rise because the lava is kept down by the man. No, it's kept down it's kept down by the water, which I like to think of as the man.
Right.
The Michael
man.
Richards holding down lava.
Michael Richards is holding down the lava, but can't hold down a job. And so what you do is you need to make the water lighter so that the lava can actually push its way up through. And so apparently the way that you do that is by mixing some Epsom salts. Epsom salts has a lower specific gravity or a higher specific gravity. And so by putting in little bits of Epsom salts that have been mixed in water, super saturated, I know this is boring, but if Parviz were here, he would be like looking at the lava lamp. Anyhow, I fixed the lava lamp. So let's talk OJ, my friend. OJ.
OJ. Well, I mean, as you know, most of the world knows at this point, his book that he was being put out by a subsidiary of Fox News, and the interview that was going to run on Fox next week during Sweep has all been canceled by Rupert Murdoch, and a lot of people are celebrating that, and a lot of people are calling him a coward. Actually, racial tension in L.A. right now.
OJ or Rupert?
Yeah, who are they calling? Who's calling who a coward?
Some people are calling Rupert a coward for not running it.
Who?
The one integrous thing that Rupert Murdoch has ever done.
that's the one thing I actually haven't heard. Who called him a coward?
In L.A., there is a section of, I'll call them black civic leaders, mostly from Compton, who want O.J. to be able to say his piece. And they think that O.J. is being held down by the man and not being allowed to say what he wants. And I have to tell you, racial tension in L.A. is a little high right now with the Michael Richards thing and the O.J. thing, and there's a couple other stories. that, you know, we could turn into some riots here.
Are you staying in?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's fine.
We all just got along.
So, this is kind of interesting because I don't think anybody expected there to be a turnaround. I mean, Rupert Murdoch is basically an evil fuck who controls, I don't know, 50% of the media around the world.
Can
I? Yeah, of course. Please, just get closer to Mike. That's all.
Let me interject something here because, you know, you were talking about how you and Parviz disagree on things. You're still friends.
Absolutely.
I like Fox News. But see, there was a little spin there because Jason said that the publishing company was a subsidiary of Fox News, and they are not.
And I caught myself when I said that in my mind and forgot to correct it.
You caught yourself in your mind?
Yes, in my mind.
What were you wearing? It's a HarperCollins.
Right. A subsidiary of News Corp.
Of News Corp.
News Corp.
Right, yeah. And Fox News is also a subsidiary of News Corp. And Fox Broadcasting is also. And Judith Regan Books is an imprint under HarperCollins.
Right.
In the library with a candlestick. So, but I think people were surprised. I'm really surprised to hear you say that there were. So folks are saying that this is people keeping OJ from getting it. I mean, when has OJ not had his say?
I mean, and let's be clear, it's not a huge groundswell of support pro OJ and letting him have his piece. But there are people who are coming. I mean, anybody is going to jump on a big media story and try to use it for their own personal gain. And there are a lot of people in this area. I mean, you remember the racial tension around the OJ trial. There's a lot of people who don't think he did it. And so, you know, they see this as, you know, he should be able to say whatever he wants to say and profit off it at the same time.
Well, what do you think happens to OJ now?
More of the same. He just gets pushed a little further deeper into Florida and is a little more of a social pariah. But he went on a radio station today.
Oh, really?
And, you know, basically talked about, said his piece. He gave an interview to the AP, which was very interesting, where he said, let me find this here, this was an opportunity for my kids to get their financial legacy. My kids understand. I made it clear that it's blood money. So, I mean...
Okay, this is a strange turn of phrase.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, the guy just doesn't either understand... He's convinced himself at this point that he didn't do the murders, and he doesn't understand the perception of him throughout the whole country and the world as this murderer. So he's walking around thinking, oh, you know, everything's hunky-dory, when really everybody hates him. So, I mean, he truly does not understand why this was a big problem, why there was all this outrage, and why people hate him so much.
Do you think we ought to bring back shunning?
In the town square, put him in,
well,
in
I know how Michael Richards would have handled it.
Stop laughing.
Sorry.
Jason.
Yeah. Sorry, Jerry.
Did you hear that actually, supposedly like 400 of the books have already actually been shipped?
Yes. There is a bunch of books that have been shipped and were at the stores waiting for, you know, for
sale. Do you think some of those are going to find their way on eBay?
Already are. I'm looking at two right now.
Really?
Oh, dude. How much are they going for?
The first one's going for $1,281.
Okay.
There have been 26 bids on it. And
wow.
The second one is going for $800, and there have been 18 bids on that one.
Pretty soon.
And when do they end?
Bids end 2 days and a couple hours.
I mean, I got to figure that a news agency wouldn't mind paying, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, right, to be the first to have something.
I'm actually surprised news agencies don't have them, because I was thinking of getting one last week when this all happened, and I'm pissed that I didn't get to the publisher soon enough. Because, I mean, for all these news agencies, talk radio stations and everything, when somebody wants to promote a book, they send free copies to all the stations. And
right.
Anybody can get one. And the really good stations, the ones that they have, most of these publishers have good relationships with, get the books, you know, a couple weeks, a month in advance. So I bet you there's some out there already, and some news people already have their hands on it.
I had heard that some of the bookstores actually didn't know that was the book they were getting. Like, they were just told, you got to order this book, it's going to be hot number one seller, because they don't want anybody knowing about it.
I see.
That's heard that this morning.
Definitely a possibility.
Cool. All right, well, maybe OJ will go back underground again, and we won't have to pay much attention to him. And,
hopefully.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. All right. Oh, first of all, I meant to mention this. When I called you before to find out what we were talking about today and make sure I knew which number to call you at today.
Right. And last week, you're like, you sent me 9,000 emails.
Yeah, fuck
this
you.
This week, you're like, no emails.
What's going on? Screw you. But anyhow, nobody cares. when I called, the ringtone was the bald Jewish guy in the 1980 VW van. And I said that was pretty cool. You said there's a website that does it for you automatically?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to clue us into this. This would be cool.
It's called umail.com, just like youtube.com, but umail. And for anybody that you have in your phone that's caller ID ready, it will give them a specific voicemail. You can set up a specific voicemail for each person. So.
Are you following this, Sherry?
Wait, you said it's called umail? Like YOUmail?
I'll find it.
I don't know. Is it YOUmail or just the letter umail?
YOUmail.
Or EWE, like umail?
That's what I said, like YouTube, but umail.
All right.
And so Robin calls me, and I can set up a personal voicemail greeting for him that he'll hear when he calls me. And if Sherry calls me.
Her.
Don't worry, Jason. I still do it, too.
I have 7 years, right? We talked about
this. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And if Sherry calls me, whatever gender Sherry is, Sherry will hear a message. And if John calls me, he'll hear a message.
So it's based off call forwarding and then the ID kind of thing?
Exactly.
Okay.
And you basically have to surrender your voicemail system over to this company.
And what do they get in exchange?
They get word of mouth. I don't know. It's in beta testing right now. In the future, it's free right now also. In the future, they might charge for it.
God, I would have loved to have that when I was going through my divorce. My ex-wife would call, hello, you cunt. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that word.
And you can do that, you know, without having everybody hear a message. It can be specific to that one person.
Yeah, but you wanted everybody to hear that message.
And you can upload your own WAV files or MP3 files from your computer. And when you get a message, an email will be sent to you along with, if you want, the attached WAV file of the message that you just received.
Very cool.
So you can forward that message to all your friends and stuff.
So it's umail.com?
Umail.
All right. We'll put a link on the website for people to be able to catch it. All right. And finally, let's do a little quick television here. We got to get out to take a break, as Parviz would say, but let's do a little TV. What's
quick
going
television.
On? Quick television.
Studio 60 has been picked up for the year,
woo!
Along with Friday Night Lights.
Never seen that.
30 Rock. they've asked 30 Rock to submit 3 more scripts, and then they're going to look at the scripts and tell them whether they like the scripts and can go ahead and produce the script.
Wow.
Yeah, so we don't really know what's going on too well with that.
It sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not looking too good for it. But
no.
they've put it as part of their Thursday night lineup of comedy. So you think it's going to be there.
Ha ha.
And then also, Disney got into...
You know what Jerry Seinfeld said about the Thursday night of comedy?
No.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
And Disney and Comcast have entered into an agreement to allow for people who have on-demand and can watch shows on-demand through their digital cable system. Disney and ABC are going to allow shows of Desperate Housewives and Lost to be on Comcast.
Oh, very exciting.
The first time network TV has done that.
Nice.
So we're here in the United States. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and we're into the beginning of the whole holiday season. We got Thanksgiving, we got Christmas, we have all kinds of specials, right? This is when normal television programming is completely set aside, right? It's preempted. Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade tomorrow is obviously the big thing in the morning for the kids. You have any favorite Thanksgiving specials?
No, I don't watch TV at all. But I mean, not on Thanksgiving.
I'm confused.
Anybody see the irony in that statement?
I eat and then I fall asleep.
Okay,
there's nothing else to do.
Because I think I'd have to put that audio clip into your intro.
But it's interesting you bring that up because actually there are going to be a lot of shows still running tomorrow. ER is doing a super Thanksgiving special. I believe Grey's Anatomy.
How long's
well.
That show been on? Like 40 years?
Yeah.
Long time.
And so, I mean, the stations aren't taking Thursday off, which, you know, I don't know if that's good or bad because a lot of people are traveling. A lot of people aren't home. They're not sitting down to watch ER on Thanksgiving, I believe.
Yeah, but I think that people, they TiVo things.
That's, and
I
th- that's the thing. There's TiVo now, and I think they're banking on a lot of that.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, have a good, happy Thanksgiving. You're going to spend it with your family?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep, I'm working in the morning and then coming home to a big old lavish dinner. I have my field roast, which is my fake turkey from Whole Foods.
Okay.
Which is my fake
Jason's
turkey
vegetarian. John has a look on his face like, you're not going to make me eat field roast, are you? Yeah. Well, okay. Field roast is better than tofurkey.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. You've had the field roast.
Yes.
I like the field roast.
And I've had the tofurkey, and it was inedible.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So if there's any vegetarians out there, that's another recommendation.
Okay.
Go get field roast. It's
all
expensive,
right,
though. It's $13 a pound.
Yeah, but it's once a year.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
You know. Okay. There you go.
Yes.
Bye-bye, my friend.
Goodbye. Happy Thanksgiving to you
all.
You
have a happy Thanksgiving, too. We'll talk to you next week.
Where's Parviz?
Parviz. Parviz is spending Thanksgiving with his family, I think. And I think he can only handle me like every other week or so.
He celebrates Thanksgiving? Isn't he like Iranian or Persian or, you know?
He'll tell you he's Persian. The reality is he's from
Iranian.
San Jose. Yeah.
I thought people from San Jose didn't celebrate Thanksgiving.
They do this year.
Yeah. It's Hanukkah that they don't celebrate. I don't know. All right. We got to get out of here. Have a very happy Thanksgiving. Say hi to your folks. Your blog, by the way, is randomshow.blogspot.com. You had a really funny article up there last week.
Thank you.
People should be reading it. It's different than the show here. You actually clearly spend some time on the blog. and there's some thought that goes into it, because I have yet to see you write the words and or on your blog. I'm looking. I don't see them.
We can't all be radio professionals like you.
So there you go. You're not doing KSCO tomorrow, I assume.
No, they're off.
Okay.
The limey British bitch is taking the day off. So.
All right.
Wow.
At least you didn't use the C word.
Yeah.
Cambridge. Oh. Huh? What?
Sorry, one last thing.
Yeah, sure.
There is an article that did come out about a comic. She tells about when Michael Richards did call her a cunt about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, good.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad we hung around for that.
Yeah.
All right, take care, my friend.
Bye, Jason.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, that was worth staying with.
You know what? Just really quickly,
yeah.
Have you seen that? There was a video that went around, a couple with one comic where actually a woman went on stage and started hitting him as a heckler. Did you guys see that one going around?
No.
And then there was another one. I want to say his name was Bill something. He was on the Opus and Andy tour.
Yeah.
And the people were heckling him.
Oh, yeah. Bill Burr.
Yeah.
That
and
I've seen.
Did you see that one? They're heckling him.
Brilliant.
And he's just like, 10 minutes left. I got 10 minutes left, you motherfuckers. And
that was
just,
in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Bill Burr's a funny, funny guy. He's a funny,
so
funny guy.
So hecklers are on the rise.
Apparently it's okay. It's like talking back to the theater screens. I don't understand it. People, when I traveled with Jan when she was doing comedy, and I traveled with her for a week, I watch people heckle her. Now, she's attractive, and so people tend to heckle her in a kind of cute girl way. But nonetheless, it breaks your rhythm. It fucks up the show for everybody else. I just don't understand it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Try to get Eliza on the phone, and we'll talk to her and her family and maybe play a little round to win John DeCoven's money.
Okay.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Okay.
It's just this thing.
Okay. You want to touch it, don't you?
Yeah.
You can take it off during the break, okay?
Okay.
All right, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, John DeCoven. We're also inviting you. Please stick around.
You're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
I always thought my movie would be a comedy, not quite the tragedy that it's become. More slapstick than chick flick, more Caddyshack than Breakfast at Tiffany's. So thank me at the podium for a lifetime of contribution. Turn on the cameras, someone cue the extras, hair and makeup to the set. The girl. So if you miss my movie,
super soaker filled with me. Because the big screen's calling final casting call. It's your big shot, baby, you're the next big star. Of another stupid movie about a guy with a broken heart. It's falling apart. We're headed for the cutting room floor. And in the sequel, honey, I'm the guy who gets the girl. And that chick from Monster. Give me Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, Belushi, and even Val Kilmer. He was funny and real genius. Top Secret was funny too. The girl.
Fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're about 12 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein. Your host, your buddy, your pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman pad attorney with a bachelor's of humor and a master's degree in city planning. Sitting here with John DeCoven, son of Easta, my friend.
Son of Easta, Robin.
And Sherry Stevens, son of Easta. Son of Easta.
Son of Easta.
So I went and called Liza Alfertig. We got a voicemail message. So they blew
They've
us
gone
off.
Out to dinner on the eve of Thanksgiving.
I know.
They're at the grocery store.
Is that a thing to do? To go out the night before?
No, you're cooking up a storm the night
Wouldn't
before.
You think? You'd be staying home?
Yeah, you're Unless making you're, stuffing.
Like, that's what you're going to do. When you leave here, you're going to go make some stuffing.
No, not tonight.
No?
Not this year.
All right. What are you doing this year?
We're going out to dinner.
We who?
My sister and I.
Your sister?
My sister.
What a segue. Let's see if your sister is on the phone. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Sherry's sister, Robin.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So where are you guys going for dinner tomorrow?
Left Bank. French cuisine.
Oh, ooh, la, 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 la.
I like their egg roll appetizers.
Okay. I like Left Bank. I was there with a girlfriend of mine, and when the food came, she clapped. She was so excited.
Or you're hungry. The waiters were so slow. So Robin and Sherry are sisters. Robin is your older sister, your younger?
Yes, she is.
Your older sister. And what is it like being an older sister, Robin?
Well, I wouldn't know, because most people think I'm the younger one.
That's true.
Well, you guys look like you could be twins.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Do you really think so, Robin?
You look very similar to each other. Yeah, I mean, you have lighter hair. She has darker hair, but, you know, so do Ashley.
Olive skin. She's fair skin.
All Ashley. Yeah, but I mean, okay.
You're
5'5".
She's 6'2".
She's 5'2".
Okay, twin daughters of different mothers. Okay, that's all I'm saying. It's a possibility. All right. So Robin, at the last minute, and Robin actually has had some really interesting. I mean, we should actually have you on the show some week, because you're a whole show in yourself. right there.
Well, thank you.
And I mean that in the nicest way possible. So you have been a clown, is that right?
I've been a children's performer, not a clown.
Okay.
I was Mother Goose.
No, no, no offense intended. So what is the difference?
Well, a clown is someone who puts on white face and has a character, and the character is expressed in their makeup and in their costume.
So like Michael Richards.
Sorry, whereas I was actually a musical storyteller. So I would take on a character like Mother Goose or even just a storyteller and would do songs and stories pertaining to my character.
And is that something, clearly it must be fun to do, otherwise you wouldn't continue to do it.
Right.
Is that something that you thought, this is what I want to do? Did you train for that, or were you trained in other performing arts, and this was something that came along that you hadn't thought about and thought, oh, this is kind of an interesting way of doing it?
Yeah, I was trained, I was a music major, and then I got into some theater and some improv, and along the way, I decided to major in creative arts because it was one way to try to get out of college with all the stuff I already had taken.
Gotcha.
And I found that I was really interested in just creativity and all the things that went along with it and making up my own thing. And that's when I started doing storytelling and sort of integrating all the different arts, like in making masks for the shows or props for the shows and movement and music and kind of integrating all the arts and kind of took it from there. And it was a lot of fun. And then after about 15, 20 years, I got bored.
And did you notice a change in kids as an audience over that amount of time?
Oh, absolutely. They're much more jaded as we are now that they're, you know, plugged in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And used to suspending their disbelief on a daily basis. What you can do in live shows is not quite as magical for them, which is a little bit sad.
Gotcha.
And they heckle more these days, too.
No, they don't.
No, they're just
never drop the N-bomb on a kid.
They're a little bit more bland than they used to be. They're a little bit more blank and vacant than
really?
They used to be.
And you're not just talking about Sherry's kids.
No, I'm not just talking, or my own.
All right. And so I know now what you're doing is you're recovering from kind of an emergency appendectomy.
Yeah.
Which is no fun.
Yeah.
But you're moving into a different field altogether.
That's right. Well, somewhat different.
Okay.
I'm teaching kindergarten.
Okay. So those blank looks will be something you'll get used to.
Yes. Now they can look at me blankly as I tell them that B sounds like B.
But I'm writing that down. All right. So here's what we do. So John DeCoven, you haven't actually met Robin. So Robin, John okay. Robin.
Hello, hi, Robin. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you, John?
Good.
John sounds a little bit like Ben Stein of Ferris Bueller's Day Off fame and
Bueller.
Exactly. And so we like to play a little game with John called Win John DeCoven's Money. Now, there's no money involved anymore. It is now just for the honor of winning John's ass. Along the way, people have won the money. Yeah. Usually we gave them a choice of something out of the KSEO prize box instead, which was a book from a publisher that didn't go back. That kind of thing, you know, some valuable things. So so it is a best of 10 test of knowledge. And the last time we played with John said that one of the reasons that he had so much trouble with the questions is he doesn't have general all-around knowledge, but that he's an expert when it comes to things that are more current, like the 80s.
I really said that. You can look for the audio.
I will look for the audio. Anyhow, so what we did was today's show, Best of 10, Test of Knowledge, all the questions have to do with the 80s.
Okay.
All right. So that should make it a little bit easier for people and also a little bit more relevant. We're going to ask John to leave the room. So John takes his headphones off, and then he goes into the other room, and we go, na, 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 na. Don't hurt yourself, John.
You need me to scoot in? Okay.
No, he's fine. You can go into the other room. He's going to go in the living room. And we'll call you when we're done, all right?
I don't know if I remember the 80s.
But you remember that there were an 80s, and that's all that really matters.
Oh, all right.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to ask you the questions, best of 10, test of knowledge, and don't worry if they seem like they're hard questions because John usually doesn't get very many of them right. So
If any,
exactly. All right, so are you ready?
I'm ready.
You feel good?
Of course.
Here we go in 3, 2, 1. All right. Question number one. In the 1986 film Ferris Bueller's Day Off, what song does Matthew Broderick lip sync to in the Chicago Parade?
Oh,
There's actually two songs, and we'll give you credit for either one of them.
I don't know.
Okay, that's fair. Let's see. Number two. What is the name of the exclusive golf club in the 1980s film Caddyshack?
Country Hill.
Okay. Number three. The Simpsons began as a reoccurring sketch on what Fox variety show?
Mad TV.
All right. Let's see. Who played Pierce Brosnan's co-star, Private Eye Laura Holt, on TV's Remington Steele?
Lindsay Wagner.
Okay. All right. Number six. We're halfway through. On TV's Night Court, Judge Harry Stone had a fanatical devotion to what classic crooner?
Frank Sinatra.
All right. Name as many of the five members of the Traveling Wilburys as you can.
Okay. Bob Dylan, George Harrison, Tom Petty, Julian Lennon.
Lonely, the lonely.
Roy, Pretty Woman guy.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, so, all right. That's fine. Let's see. Who went from the Love Boat to Congress?
That's a real question, honey. Oh.
The black guy.
Okay.
The bartender guy. No? Yeah?
Okay. Let's see. I can't tell you until we get John in here. What current television talk show host got her big break performing on the original Star Search?
Ellen DeGeneres.
All right. And final question. Who was the only performer to appear in both the London and Philadelphia Live Aid concerts?
Who was that?
Who was the only performer to appear in both the London and Philadelphia Live Aid concerts?
Willie Nelson.
All right. So that's 10. We'll play a little bit of our sound effect here. Hold on. And Dick Cheney. All right, good. Okay, so you got, I'm going to say you got one. but you got, that was the members of the Traveling Wilburys. We're going to give you four out of the five. So that may ultimately be, so we'll give you 4 points there.
Yeah.
So we're giving you 4 points. So John's coming back. How you doing, my friend?
All right.
Did you hear the questions?
Well, I mean, I couldn't help, but that doesn't tell me anything except that I probably didn't know any.
I didn't say yes or no this time, right? So I was smart enough not to give them away.
Right.
You're feeling cocky though, aren't you?
No. Not.
But you knew a couple of them.
I might. We'll
see, I thought we were going to play with my friend Friggy, and so some of these questions, I thought, oh, Friggy will know these, so he'll be a good match for you.
I think. They're still,
are you putting me down?
They're still,
no. Yes.
They're still, I think, tough, but okay.
All right. That's all right. Believe me, it is no reflection on your womanhood that John may or may not win in this one. All right. So here we go, John. In 3, 2, 1. All right. In the 1986 Ferris Bueller's Day Off, what song does Matthew Broderick lip sync to in the Chicago Parade?
And I should know this, obviously, being my movie. What about if I get the artist? Marvin Gaye?
No.
Okay.
No, he's saying Donka Shane and Twist and Shout.
I was going to say Twist and Shout.
All right, I'll give you credit for that. Number two, what is the name of the exclusive golf club in 1980s Caddyshack?
Another one I should know that I...
Oh, I thought you'd know that one.
Yeah, no. Rolling Hills.
It is Bushwood.
Bushwood.
All right. Number three, The Simpsons began as a reoccurring sketch on what Fox variety show?
The only thing I can think of is In Living Color.
Oh,
no?
So wrong.
Tracy Ullman.
Yes, bing, bing, bing. We're going to give her that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
She just needed a little more time.
Okay.
Special
right.
needs people sometimes need a little more time. Okay. It's not. It doesn't matter when you get it, as long as you get it.
All right.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to even ask you this question. All right, well, you could both answer. What 80s TV show had a twist ending that indicated the whole series was just a child's dream?
I was for a second going to say Newhart, but no. A child.
You can answer this one too, Robin.
Okay.
You forgot to ask her.
I
the
forgot
question?
To ask her this question.
That's a 80s TV show. Was it a sitcom?
What 80s era TV show had a twist ending that indicated the whole series was just a child's dream?
Charles Angels.
Who's Angels?
Charles?
Charles Angels? Yeah, okay.
Facts of life.
Where were you?
It was Saint Elsewhere.
Really?
Yeah, it was the doctor's autistic kid. He had a little snow globe at the end, and he looked at the snow globe.
That show.
That was a TV show?
Who played Pierce Brosnan's co-star, Private Eye Laura Holt, on TV's Remington Steele? Oh, dude, you really don't know any of these.
Well, no. I mean, I could see her face, but I have no idea what her name is.
Stephanie Zimbalist Jr.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Her dad was an actor, right?
He was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Yeah.
Ephraim, I knew that. I should get partial credit.
Okay, fine. We'll give you partial credit. On TV's Night Court, Judge Harry Stone had a fanatical devotion to what classic crooner?
Again...
Velvet Fog.
Harry Belafonte.
Velvet Fog.
I don't know. Louis.
Velvet Fog.
Tony Bennett.
No.
Dean Martin.
Velvet Fog.
Louis Armstrong.
Velvet Fog.
Frankie.
Velvet Fog.
Frank Sinatra.
Mel Torme.
Mel Torme, that's right. That's right.
Name as many of the members of the Traveling Wilsburys as you can.
And you're telling me she got four of them?
She did. She got
really?
Four of them. Yeah.
Bob Dylan.
Okay, that's one.
Tom Petty.
That's two.
Ringo Starr.
No.
No?
No, keep going. I'm not going to stop.
Those are the only ones I could...
George Harrison.
Oh, okay, so a different Beatle. I mean, come on.
Roy Orbison.
Oh, okay.
And Jeff Lynne from Electric Light Orchestra, ELO.
Oh,
right, he
okay.
was the producer of the whole thing. All right, all that's right. fine. Let's see, that'll be a tie. Who went from the Love Boat to Congress?
Can I just say the character? Because I don't know
sure.
his name. Isaac.
No.
Yes. Oh, no. Gomer. Gomer.
Who? Homer?
No. Gomer. Gopher. No. Wasn't his name Gopher?
How long do you want to guess?
Radar.
How much time do you
not need? The guy?
Fred Grandy, who played Gopher.
Right. Then I say oh, that?
Eventually. Among other things, among five wrong answers, you said that. What current television talk show host got her big break of performing on Star Search?
Ellen DeGeneres.
No, that was what she said. Oh, you
Ricky
couldn't hear
Lake.
It. Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie?
Rosie, yeah, Rosie O'Donnell. And finally, who was the only performer to appear in both the London and Philadelphia Live Aid
Will
concerts?
Will this tie me? Because I think I know this one.
No, I think she actually won.
No, she only got one right.
No, she got second.
Don't fight with me, boyfriend.
She got extra.
Because I know this one.
No, Phil, you didn't.
Phil Collins.
Very nice.
And he took a plane. It was a whole bit.
That's the only one that you actually knew. I mean, when you think about it, you didn't know Don Gashain. You didn't know Bushwood. You didn't know Tracy Ullman, Saint Elsewhere, Stephanie Zimbalist, Mel Torme. You knew a couple of the Traveling Wilburys. She knew more of them.
Right.
Gopher, Rosie O'Donnell. What do we say? Is it a tie?
I think next time between 1976 and 1978 and a half.
Wait, hold on. I got to write this. Oh, man.
Well, I would like, I put in my request for 1972.
Okay. All right. It's very narrow trivia. Well, you held your own there.
Oh yeah.
That's a nasty cough.
You're genius on my part.
That's a nasty cough. That was very nicely done. I would have to say that I have to give her more because she knew more of the Traveling Wilburys.
That's fair.
So I'm gonna give it to her. On the other hand, you did know Phil Collins.
You're okay with that, John?
I'll survive.
Okay. You know, I love you now.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Good.
How could you guys not know Mel Torme? You're a music person.
I was going there. I just had to work my way through some people first.
But I like the fact that, given enough time, you actually, more of them came to you.
Actually, you know what the next one you should do is Lost Trivia.
Never seen the show.
Exactly. But I have.
All right.
How about Grey's Anatomy?
Thank you, Robin. Are you feeling better?
I am.
Good.
Yeah, almost the poison is almost out of my system. Almost.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's, you know, we people sort of think of, you know, appendicitis and burst appendix as being, oh, it's not such a big deal, but it's serious ass shit.
Yeah.
It could kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, my doctors looked a little shaken up about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's badass stuff. I mean, peritoneal poisoning, I mean, I don't think it takes long for that to take you down. Because all the bacteria that's in your gut, and then it gets into your abdomen, and then begins to affect all of the organs.
Well, thanks, Robin. I feel much better now. Great.
So you're a lucky duck.
You know, I'm starting to feel a little sick now.
Okay, good. Well, then my job is done. All right, listen, you and...
feeling a little dizzy.
You and Sherry, now you're like most of the audience. You and Sherry have a very, very happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
You too, honey bun. Enjoy
the left bank.
Oh, we will.
The middle bank, the right bank.
Yeah.
The First National Bank.
Or, you know, I like to call it desperate search for fun while your children are gone on Thanksgiving, goddammit.
All right. Well, I'll make sure that they don't get to hear this. All right. Take care.
All right.
Thanks very much. Bye. All right.
Good.
She was good.
Not bad.
On the spot. Quick. Quick like a bunny.
Yeah.
I thought you would. You came back so cocky. I was sure.
No. I wasn't cocky at all.
Was he a cock of the walk?
I was saying I heard the questions and I don't think I know any of them. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, but the way that you walk, you strutted. You strutted in here, or maybe it's just new pants. I don't know. You need to wash the blue
shirt.
Jeans.
Yeah,
it is the shirt. I need to get one of them shirts.
Okay, we'll get you one.
Who designed the logo for you?
Some guy. I mean, no, honestly, on the web, I just had it made.
No, but I mean the logo.
No, I'm telling you, I had some, I'm showing it like they're going to see it.
He's pulling at his breast.
No, it's a company, they design logos, so...
What'd that cost you?
$50.
To do the logo cost $50?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, they're already kind of pre-made. Like, they kind of give you a general idea, and then you say, yeah, put my company
in
there.
All right.
So
that wouldn't be good for, like, a doctor.
No.
Okay. All right. I like smiles. I prefer laughter, but I'll take the smiles. All right. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll play some more tunage. Oh, I know what we can... Wait. Yeah, we'll play that when we come back on the other side. All right. We'll play a little song, and then we'll come back. We'll talk some more. You're listening to Schnauzer Launch. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens. Your sister's she's terrific.
I know.
Thank you so much. And John DeCoven, stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Don't know why.
This song's called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I called the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
Welcome back. We're about 39 minutes. Hopefully people aren't thinking we're going to play the whole 18-minute, 35-second song. I'm sure the people listening go, holy crap, what did I get myself into? Bring back Brian Cox.
Brian Cox.
That's only 5 minutes. So it's Thanksgiving. We want to talk about Thanksgiving. And for me, Alice's Restaurant is really a big part of Thanksgiving. I think it is. Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. For you. When we grew up, that was sort of what people at radio stations played on Thanksgiving Day.
They still do it.
Do they really?
I know that KFOG will be playing it like 3 times tomorrow.
Okay.
And or today, when our listeners are listening to this, I hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, it's a very big part of our Thanksgiving culture here.
No clue.
You never heard that before?
I know, I've heard it, but I didn't know it was a Thanksgiving type of thing.
So Arlo Guthrie, who is the son of a legendary folk singer Woody Guthrie,
right.
Wrote this song back in 1969 and recorded it. It's 18 minutes and 38 seconds long. It turns out that's the exact length of one of the blanks in the Nixon tapes. The 18-minute gap is an 18-minute, and so there was always a joke that maybe what happened was Nixon had recorded over
right.
Alice's Restaurant. It's an interesting and timely little thing. First of all, you don't hear songs like that anymore, people doing this kind of long-form storytelling, you know, satirical thing. And it is about a Thanksgiving dinner that he had in Barrington, Massachusetts. And he tries to dump some garbage, and as a result of dumping the garbage, he gets arrested for littering. And because he gets arrested for littering, when he gets called up for the draft, this was back in the 60s, so the draft for the Vietnam War was still on. When he gets called up for the draft, he has to list that he's been arrested and convicted of a crime. And so it's this long-form poem, and for me, it really summarizes the feel and the nature of it. What we're going to do is, we're going to play Alice's Restaurant. So I'm going to put a link on the blog. I didn't want to play it during the show today because I didn't want to give up. We don't have a chance to get together once a week, and so I didn't want to give up 18 or 20 minutes of the one time that we all get a chance to get together. But there are people who may not have heard Alice's Restaurant all the way through, and it's definitely worth a listen. So what I'm going to do is, on the blog, there will be a link, and you'll be able to download and listen to Alice's Restaurant. It'll either be a link for its stream, or it'll be a link for the program itself, but we'll make sure that you have a link so people can actually hear the entire Alice's Restaurant. If you've never heard it before, it's a good thing. But you were saying that, you know, Thanksgiving, there are sort of certain things that make Thanksgiving Thanksgiving for you.
I did say that.
In my mind. In my mind. Roll with me here. Just say, well, supposing you did say that, what would be some of those things?
I'm not that sentimental about Thanksgiving, honestly.
All right.
It's just
where did you grow up, by the way?
Los Angeles.
And so Thanksgiving, not such a big deal down there?
No, I mean, you know, we have our Thanksgiving and the relatives, and, you know, it's just a day you get together to argue about stuff, you know? I mean,
I thought that's what every Jewish holiday is about.
It isn't?
All right.
So, no, but, you know, it's always like you feel like, you feel like if you're not doing anything, you got to be doing something. I mean, to me, it's like I can have dinner with my mom and my brother any night. So why do
you simply choose not to?
Right. So, you know, but my mom feels like, oh, well, you know, we have to be together on that day. So that's what we do.
So this is a real chore for you is what you're saying.
No, it's not a chore, but, you know, it's... Help me out, Cherry.
I am. So typically, I'll run with it now. Yeah, typically
Stop
Thanksgiving.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's a time. It is a time when families come together, and you know, and sometimes it is a hassle because I know that there are families where people fight over whose home they're going to go to and who's going to cook, or, you know, there's always the traveling of, you know, where you're going to travel to visit whatever relatives for that meal. And so it's a, you know, for me, I always saw it as a 4-day weekend that I don't get to have a 4-day weekend because I was always so busy cooking and, you know, preparing the meal. But for the last several years, it's changed, you know, and it changes as your families change and
right.
as circumstances change. You know, we've lost a couple of family members in the last few years. And so every year is a little bit different now. And I am enjoying the fact that it's not the big deal that it once was right, when my kids right. were little, and I would start cooking, I would say, a good 4 or 5 days prior to Thanksgiving. It mm-hmm. was a lot of work, and coincidentally enough, it coincided with my PMS back when I had it.
Okay, interesting.
And,
okay,
and with the way my
poultry,
I don't know what it was, but a lot of people become very bitchy, or, you know, there's all these...
Is that the tryptophan, right. or...?
No, no. But for me, I would become quite obsessive during that time.
Okay. More so.
More so.
All right.
And so I would have to make the perfect meal, you know, so I would be making, you know, the best stuffing and working very hard to have the table set days in advance and, you know, making pumpkin creme brulee because I was obsessing over Thanksgiving. So now I'm going out to dinner. I may not even order turkey.
I was going to ask, turkey a big part of it?
No, well...
How about for you? Are you a big turkey person?
Yeah, I like my turkey. I don't need the roasted whatever that Jason
field
was
roast.
Talking about.
Field
Jason,
roast.
Jason, field
yeah.
roast.
Yeah, he was on like about 20 minutes ago.
Okay. Yeah. No, I knew that. I forgot what the field roast, what is that exactly?
It's a mash. It's a vegetarian kind of mash put together with okay. various grains and vegetables and things of that nature. And I think the whole thing is kind of basted and roasted. So okay. when you slice it up, it has like a roast quality to it. If it isn't, what I described just sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
You have like a worse Thanksgiving story? We should have done some prep on this.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a few years that the turkey wasn't cooked all the way.
Yeah.
There was we would try things differently, like put it in the barbecue and it caught on fire. but it was actually, that was probably the best turkey we've ever had. Well, it was burned on the outside, but on the inside it was very moist and it was great, but it looked awful, just horrible.
They're talking about how every year so many fires are started by people that try to deep fry their turkeys
yes.
without thawing them out first, and so they throw these frozen turkeys. It's basically a lava lamp of death is what it is. You can use that in your rack, by the way.
Okay, thank
no
you.
No charge, it's a throwaway.
All right.
You know, for me, because I went away to school, right? I went away to college, and so, like Eliza, Thanksgiving was an opportunity to come home. Not necessarily a good thing, although it kind of grounded you along the way. So you're constantly making these trips from university back to home and back to university again. And so this was an opportunity to come home and spend some time with the family. And so it broke up the year, right? Because it was travel involved. You had to go someplace else to do what it was that you were doing. You weren't sort of just staying in the same place. Mm. And as a kid, I remember there being giant Thanksgivings where everybody spoke in a language I didn't speak. They were speaking Yiddish, or they were speaking Hebrew, or they were speaking Polish. You know, it was a very different kind of, it was these old Jewish Brooklyn Thanksgivings. And there were smells you don't smell anymore. Right, there was a smell of oilcloth. The turkey was wrapped in oilcloth mm-hmm. to kind of keep it moist. Right, these old
cheese
kind
cloth
of
or
cheese, maybe cheesecloth cheese and oil,
yeah.
but like Eastern European cooking techniques that people don't use anymore, and side dishes. I go every year to my friend Jim's home, and for him, little cream pearl onions. That's what makes I don't think that's what makes Thanksgiving.
But
you
their
need
family
to
family side.
You need to have yeah. that. That's the side, right? That's
right.
really important.
For our house, I make a homemade cream corn, and that was
okay.
always the request. Got to have the cream corn.
How about you?
I'd say some kind of potato dip was always.
Let's see if it's on the big board.
There's
potato up there.
Yep, sweet potato yams yeah. with marshmallows sprinkled on the top.
That okay. was,
or potatoes au gratin, I think we have.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's traditional, but I think we have that.
But I think
that's
right. There's something that makes Thanksgiving. For me, it were little chocolate turkeys. my dad would bring home little chocolate turkeys, and that's what would make Thanksgiving Thanksgiving, because the rest of the meal was fairly traditional. It was stuffing. Actually, it wasn't stuffing. It was dressing, because my mom would not make it in the bird. She'd make it out of the bird, so I guess technically it would be dressing. But my dad loved the cranberry jelly out of the can. I mean, that for him was the, you know, the make it. And you're making the face, right? I mean,
my nephew will eat cranberry sauce with a spoon.
Yeah,
like that.
Cranberry jelly, cranberry sauce. That was the big thing. So you're going to be going to your mom, and you're going
to
be going.
Well, actually, we had to call an audible.
I don't know what that means.
Are you serious? In football, you don't know what an audible is?
No.
Okay, an audible is when you go up. You've made your play, you go up to the line, and then you change the call. Change your play. So I had to make a Thanksgiving audible, because originally I was supposed to go to Thanksgiving dinner at my girlfriend's parents' house with my mom and my brother.
Yes.
And just last week, we had some issues.
Your mom?
Well, you know my mom. She has issues. But no, me and my girlfriend are going through a little rough thing. I don't know if we're going to be together or not, but definitely Thanksgiving is off, so we had to call an audible. And now me, my brother, and my mom are going to meet a couple of his friends in San Francisco.
All right.
Just go to a restaurant out there. Yeah.
Very nice. That'll be good times.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do my friend Jim Latin's every year, and I bring a cheesecake. I make a chocolate chip cheesecake. That's sort of become...
Which is excellent, by the way. I've had it before, and it's good.
I bought all the fixins the other night at Whole Foods, and... I think it probably cost me about $30 to buy the stuff for the cheesecake when I could buy a complete cheesecake.
The cheesecake back.
Yeah, for 12.
You know what I've really enjoyed about this is I haven't even gone to the grocery store in the last week.
Well, stay away.
Stay away. Yes,
stay away.
I don't need to go.
No.
Because that's the whole thing. It's just the cooking and the shopping. And
well, we're going to play one more, so we'll take a final break. We'll play one more song. We'll come back and... This is the Peanuts Thanksgiving music.
Okay.
All right. Little Vince Giraldi, I think.
Giraldi.
Giraldi?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. And is it Fatali? All right. So what we'll do is we'll take a little bit of break. We'll play one final song. We'll come back on the other side and finish up this spectacle here. Looks like there was a call that I missed during the break. Let's see. Who called? Friggy called. Well, fuck Friggy. All right, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic, our Thanksgiving episode. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, and John DeCoven. Hang around, we'll be back on the other side.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Understand, this isn't just goodbye. This is I can't stand you. This is where the road crashed into the ocean. It rises all around me, and now we're barely breathing. A thousand faces we'll choose to ignore. Curse my enemies forever. Let's slit our wrists and burn down something beautiful. This desperation leaves me overjoyed with fading lights that lead us past the lives that we destroy. I listen to you cry. I cry for less attention, but both my hands are tied. And I'm pushed into the deep end. I listen to you talk, but talk is cheap. And my mouth is filled with mud from trying not to speak. So search for an excuse and someone to believe you. In foreign dressing rooms, I'm empty with the need to curse my enemies forever. Let's slit our wrists and burn down something beautiful.
This desperation leaves me overjoyed with fading lights that lead us past the lives that we destroy.
Welcome back. We're like 53 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. A little last segment here. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, and John DeCoven. Thanks for stopping in today, my friend.
It was awesome.
Really appreciate that.
It's great to finally meet you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You just heard each other on the phone lines and stuff like that. So before we get out of here today, well, lots more stuff that I wanted to talk about that, well, just we'll just have to wait until next week, I guess.
Yep.
I got involved in some credit fraud thing. Somebody used my credit card for, I got like $2,800 worth of bills for Best Buy and like the Hornet, Charlotte Hornets tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How
so
did
now
they get it?
I have no idea. I wonder if they just kind of randomly made up some numbers or I wonder whether sometimes people just, some kid will copy stuff down in a super restaurant or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I put a thing on my whole credit report and watch and there's no activity. So I'm hoping it's just kind of a random, but scary stuff.
Yeah.
To realize just how quickly it is. So you ever get involved in that stuff?
I've had that happen to me, too.
Is that right?
I had actually a guy come over to my house to do some work. It was through a temp agency.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, I'm getting a call from a credit card company saying all this stuff was charged, but it turned out he took it from me.
Wow.
So, anyways.
All right. Well, before we get out of here today, I wanted to talk about the passing of a very famous American film director, Robert Altman, who is probably, I'm guessing his best-known film may be MASH, although I'm not sure that people know that he directed MASH. He had a very long career, but starting with MASH, Brewster, McCloud, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, The Long Goodbye, Thieves Like Us, Nashville, Buffalo Bill and the Indians, Three Women, A Wedding. He directed Popeye, the Robin Williams film. Remember that? Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, O.C. and Stiggs, Fool for Love, Vincent and Theo, The Player, Shortcuts, Prêt-à-Porter. Is that how you pronounce that?
Uh-huh. Prêt-à-Porter.
The Gingerbread Man, Cookie's Fortune, Dr. T and the Women, Gosford Park, The Company, and most recently, Prairie Home Companion. And
out of that list, you know, you think about all those movies, and a lot of them really stunk. You know, I mean, they did. They were not so good. And yet, there were a lot of them that were directed in a very interesting style, you know, like The Player or Shortcuts.
Yep.
And I was just telling Robin during the break, I didn't always like Robert Altman films, but I had a lot of respect for him because of the way he directed, and I think he let a lot of the actors and actresses improv. They just needed to kind of work in certain things, you know, that were part of the scene, but I don't know that he actually scripted things literally all the time.
I don't know how true that is. I do know that he has changed the landscape of film because of him. you have films with multiple storylines mm-hmm. that wind up colliding, right? I mean, he created, I don't know if he created it, you probably can go back to some French filmmakers that had that, but he modernized that idea of multiple storylines happening simultaneously,
weaving together.
Also, he's one of the things that he's known for, infamous for, is that dialogue on top of each other. So you can't really hear what's going on because it's not like a stage play. It's like real life where people are talking on top of each other all the time. So he added all of these elements to the lexicon of film. And I think that's why I think of him as being important, because mm-hmm. he changed the way that young filmmakers look at film. They may not even know that they're coming from an Altman space, right? But these are just the ways that they know that these are things you can do in film that before him, you know, was kind of filming a stage play.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll miss him. Well, I'll miss him. What's your favorite Robert Altman film? Putting on the spot.
Well, I have to admit to not knowing about his work too much.
But you've heard of some of these films.
Yeah, but I think I've seen Shortcuts. Mm-hmm. I mean,
how can you forget that scene where Julianne Moore is standing there without her skirt and you can see her full frontal...
Oh, okay, I remember it.
I remember thinking, watching it going, oh my God. Well, so how long is she going to stand there talking? For the like a good 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, he was not afraid of making the audience uncomfortable.
And that was a film, actually, that it had a very disturbing ending. You know, there was a child that died. But it was unresolved. There was a lot of things that were unresolved in that movie. I remember walking out of the theater going, huh? You know, I don't feel good.
I'd have to go with Popeye.
Yeah. Never mind.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you very much for sitting in.
Oh, thank you. I had a good time, as always.
Terrific. Thank you very much for shitting in.
Shitting in? Are you going to clean that up, too?
Shitting in. Thank you very much for sitting in.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I don't get enough sleep.
You've had a busy week.
It's been a month.
And it's
been a crazy-ass month. Maybe it'll get better now. We'll see. Anyhow.
I still found time to come over and set up my new TV.
Thank you very much. Big screen, flat panel, LCD, nice. Bravia, Sony
HD.
TV. Oh,
HD.
Even higher than high def.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I don't know what it would be, but it's...
What's the...
1080p, my friend. 1080p.
Okay. How big is it? You can't say something like that without it sounding...
We
got to
get out of here.
Sexual.
We're out of time. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. Chill up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. For those in the United States, have a very healthy and happy, safe Thanksgiving. When you're traveling the rest of the world, listen to the Alice's Restaurant thing on the blog. There'll be more stuff there. We'll have a good time. We'll talk to you next week. Take care. We love you guys. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.